don't have your own, come to the one we're going to have in February, Sunday night, the 12th. It's going to be great. And, you know, you can see more information about it in the bulletin and the handout. But I hope you're planning to come, you know, because it doesn't matter how long you've been married. I'm going to be here. I've been married 51 years, and I'm looking to learn some things, you know. So we can always, if you stop becoming a student about anything, you might as well die, you know. I mean, seriously, because there's a lot to learn. We don't know at all about anything, about any area of life, none of us. And, you know, so come, you know, if you're married, if you're separated, if you're divorced, if you're thinking about getting married, if you're young and you're going to get married someday, it'd be a good time to start learning about marriage. So, you know, we hope that you're going to show up for that on the 12th. Well, good morning. You know, we sound pretty good for all the dreary weather that we're having, right? I wore my own sunshine this morning. You know, I wear dark a lot, but I'm so sick of dark, you know, and clouds and rain and fog and dreariness that I'm almost out of my mind. And I was in with my doctor about a week ago for my three-month checkup, and because I'm diabetic. And anyway, and that's good, but not that I'm diabetic, but it was a good checkup. But, you know, and I was telling him how I get in this kind of weather. He said, oh, you have SAD. I forget what that stands for, but it's an acronym for some condition. And he said, I have the same thing. And he said, you know, you just after about 2 days of this, you start getting depressed. He's not clinically depressed, but just like, and I said, yes, I have to get up every morning, which I do anyway, and thank God about things. But I thank him that it's not real cold, that we're not shoveling the rain or we're not sliding around on the ice, you know, and that spring is coming and summer when the sun will shine most of the time. We're just in that northeast winter ugly right now. So, you know, so anyway, I was a bit down this morning, like, not another day, and it's like two more days of rain coming. So I'm like, I gotta wear yellow. I gotta brighten up myself a little bit. So, you know, if you see me going like this, I'm catching a little sun. All right. Anyway, it's good that you're here. Thank you for being here. And if you're here visiting with us, thank you for coming. We're glad that you're here. And you know, just sit and relax. We're not going to do anything weird. I'm actually going to speak from God's word here in just a moment. And so, you know, so you can relax. You know, when today is over, at the end of today, tonight, you will have 343 days left in 2017. After today, we've already used up 22 days of the new year. Didn't that go quickly? See, that's how time flies. Dan mentioned that when he was just sharing a moment ago. Time really goes incredibly fast. Actually, it doesn't. Every 24-hour period lasts the same length of time. It doesn't speed up. It doesn't slow down. It just sort of seems like that. But that's what we will have left, 343. And you know, the clock is always ticking in your life. Doesn't matter what age you are. You only get so many days on this earth in totality, you know. And, you know, it depends what age you are. But once you clock 50 and above, it's not as many left as you've already spent, all right? You get the picture, you know. So the older you get, the less time you have. So we want to learn how to spend them carefully. Actually, I don't even like the word spend. I like the word, and so does the Bible, invest. How are we investing, all right? So today we want to look at two simple things. First of all, a biblical strategy for living our lives daily, because that's how we live it. We don't live it in months or years or decades. We live it one moment at a time, one day at a time. So we want to look first at just sort of get what the Bible says about having a strategy for living our daily lives, and then we want to look and take a personal inventory. Interesting. A personal inventory of your time and how you're either spending it or investing it, because there is a difference. Well, let's pray first. Father, thank you for the morning. Thank you that we're alive, that we're up, that we're relatively well. And even for those that are going through some rough spots with their health or in other situations, Father, we thank you for the grace that is in our lives through you. We thank you for your mercy and for your love. We're so thankful that you love us and that you have designed for us a wonderful plan for our lives, and that you care about what happens to us, and that you want to be a part of the journey that we're on. And so, Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks this morning. We thank you for our kids back in the rooms in the hallway, for the fact that I know they're having fun this morning, but I also know that they're going to learn some valuable principles of truth for building their young lives. We thank you for the people that are working with them and teaching them and helping them, those that so willingly serve as we are in here learning as well. Thank you for our youth, which are out in the shed, and for the program that they are on, and for Pastor Will, who's leading them this morning and teaching them. We pray also, Lord, that they will learn much of value that's going to be helpful in their young adult lives. And for us in here, Lord, open our minds and our hearts to receive truth, and help us not just to hear it, but to have the ability and the willingness to act upon the things that we hear. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So first, we want to look at a biblical strategy, looking at living daily life with the time that is allotted to us in our lives. You could turn in your Bibles or on your phone or your, you know, whatever electronic device you have with you to Psalms 90 and verse 12. The Bible talks a lot about time. It talks a lot about living our lives. It talks a lot about life. God has a plan for us. He has actually a strategy for us that is unveiled in His Word from beginning to end. And in Psalm 90 and verse 12, there's a very key word verse that we need to pay particular attention to. You know, and every year as I begin a new year, I spend some time thinking about how I've invested my time in the past year and past years, and how I plan to invest whatever time I have in this year. Now, I hope that I have, you know, 343 days left, but I don't know that for sure. I could be gone before the end of this day, or I could be gone sometime throughout this year. So could you keep that in mind, because that's learning to live in light of eternity, not to scare us, but just to help us to be wise about what we're doing with our time, okay? Now, in Psalm 90 and verse 12, he says this, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So we will be spending whatever time God has allotted to us in a wise way, not in a foolish way. Now, this verse is basically about careful planning and use of our time, using our time wisely. Now, the word number here, teach us to number. Old Testament is written in Hebrew, New Testament is written in Greek. So the Hebrew word here for number means something interesting. It means to, it doesn't mean to count them, you know, like I did this morning. You have 343 days left. That's not what it's talking about. Teach us to number our days. But the word number here means to weigh out, to weigh it out, to allot it effectively. Means to really think about what we are doing. It's talking about weighing something out, measuring it out very carefully, very officially, something of great value, like weighing out gold or silver or some precious metal or stone. Weigh it out carefully, just like you would that, you know. That's what the word number here means. So consider carefully, weigh out carefully the time that you've spent already and mistakes that we've all made but weigh out carefully what is left, all right? Now, the Hebrew word for aright, because it says, teach us to number our days aright. You know, you look at that, aright. What's aright? That's what you take when you get to the traffic light and the GPS says, take a right. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about a right. The word there means to set up or establish. To set up or establish. Set up means to have, and establish means to have a plan. To have some sort of plan. Now, he's not talking about planning your calendar, you know, with every day and everything that you're going to do. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, come at this because time is valuable. In fact, many people say today that time is more valuable than money because people are very busy. So you have to stop and think, how am I investing or spending? Am I just spending it, just squandering it, or am I investing it carefully? Because what do you do when you have some money and you want to invest it? You come up with a plan. You just don't throw it at something. You plan it out. What's the best return that I'm going to get for my investment, interest-wise or whatever? What's the plan? And so you're to do the same thing with time, which is just as valuable and, I would say, more valuable than money or gold or silver or whatever we have. So he's saying to set this up, to have a plan, all right? Now, remember something. Your time is in limited supply. There's only so much of it. It's just like not vast and endless. It's life is short, relatively short compared to eternity. So remember that your time is limited. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, it says this. This is a sobering verse, Psalm 90 and verse 10. The length of our days is 70 years. Whoa, that's me. Going over this again all week and last night and early this morning, I just look at that and go, the length of our days is 70 years. Well, I'm 70. So I stop and I think to myself, does that mean I'm dying this year? Because July 22nd, the middle of the year, I'm going to be 71. So is this it? But I look out here and some of you are older than I am. Now, a lot of you are a lot younger, but some of you are 75. Some of you are 80. My parents are 93. How the heck did that happen? Because the Bible says the length of our days is 70 years or 80. Whew, I could have another 10. That's great, you know. Or 80, if we have the strength. So far I do. So far it's going well, all right? He's not saying that you hit 70, you're dead, and the people that have a little more strength, they're going to make it to 80. We wouldn't have anybody that's 81 or 85 or 90. No, what he's saying is that the average for us is about 70 or 80 years. Depends on our health and our genetic base and so forth, the family we come from. So he's simply saying, you're not going to have forever. 70, 80, that's good. You make it beyond that. You're one of the few and the fortunate. Now that's gone up a little. You know, nowadays they trick old people. You know, they tell you the 80s is the new 60s. I don't know. I know a lot of people in their 80s, and they don't feel like they're in their 60s, you know, and I see some heads shaking. That's just a trick to make you feel younger, you know. If you're 70, look, you're 70. If you're in your 80s, you're in your 80s, and your body's telling you you're not in your 20s, 30s, or 40s anymore, all right? It's just the way it is, all right? But listen carefully. Time wasted. If you're a time waster, you can never regain it. Once a minute is gone, once an hour is gone wastefully, you cannot get it back. It's gone. It's like water flowing downstream out of sight. It's over. It's done. So we have to be very careful about how we live. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, you may want to turn there in the New Testament, because we're looking at this from the Old Testament. What does the New Testament say? By the way, these are not the only verses that talk about time and about life and brevity of life and so forth. just using these as illustrations, just to say the Old Testament talks about it. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 15 through verse 17, also talks about it. And it's really just the very same principle that we had, first of all, in Psalm, is now repeated in different words in Ephesians, in the New Testament. He says in verse 15, be very careful then. All right, the Greek word and the structure of it here in the New Testament means to discern mentally or contemplate exactly and accurately. Be very careful then. Discern very carefully, contemplate very carefully how you live, he says in verse 15. And the word how you live is speaking about your daily life. It comes from a Greek word that is sometimes interpreted in the English as how you walk. Now, it's not whether, you know, how you physically walk and what that looks like. It's talking about your walk, your daily life. He says, so be careful then, daily, as you live, be very careful, making the most, getting the most out of every opportunity, or we could say out of every hour, out of every minute, out of every day. Be very careful then. Contemplate carefully and accurately and exactly how you live your daily life, because days come and go, and they appear to go very quickly as you're living life. And it is true, the older you get, and I'm not talking about, you don't have to be real old. My grandson said to me recently, he's 18, Will says, man, the days are really going by fast. And I'm like, I'm going to say to you what older people have said to me for years. If you think it's going fast now, just wait. And my father-in-law, who's 20 years older than me, he's 90, Chris's dad, he's been telling me that for years, because sometimes I'd say, man, the summer is just flying by. He said, you just wait. If you think it's fast now, you know. So he's saying to us, be very careful then how you live, how you spend those daily moments, making the most of every opportunity. The word there from the original means redeeming or buying up the time. Redeeming the time, meaning buying it up. Redeem comes from a word that in the New Testament is used many different ways. It's used of our salvation. We are redeemed. It means to buy up. And so he says to be careful with your time, because just as we had in Psalm 90, it's precious like gold. Consider it like that. We wouldn't throw gold around. You know, if you buy one of those little gold bars, they're always advertising on TV, or you buy some gold dust, you know, whatever form you'd have it in. You would be very careful. I don't know what it is per ounce right now, but it's a lot of money. You'd be very careful with that gold. You know, you want to know exactly where you put it, exactly where, let's say it's hidden, you wouldn't even let it lay out in the open. You know, you'd want to put it somewhere where it's secure. So he's saying the same thing here. Make the most of every opportunity. Why? He gives us the reason. He says, because the days are evil. The days are evil. And by that he means the days are actively opposed to good things and are more involved in evil things, all sorts of things. The days are evil. Now, that could actually apply not just to like evil and like sin, but it can apply to anything that's damaging to you and to me. It can involve our diet and the way that we eat and the things that are going to damage our bodies, which house, they are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which house our soul and our spirit. That's a very important part of us. So he says, the days are evil. We live in a day when there's contaminants in everything. You know, people say, well, you shouldn't eat that because that's going to cause cancer. I said, breathing can cause cancer in the world in which we live. Drinking the water, so many things. But you can be careful. And we should be careful. Why? Days are evil. and they will destroy us. He then says in verse 17, do not be foolish, means without reason, without reflection, without any type of thinking. Don't be foolish. Just don't live life like a fool. In the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, it talks a lot about the fool and what the fool does. It's interesting. God calls certain people fools. Fools. You know, sometimes we say they're idiots, you know, but God doesn't use that word. He uses the word fool. And it would be good to read through the book of Proverbs. And a good way you can do that if you're new at this, and you'll learn a lot there, is read the proverb, the chapter that corresponds with whatever the day is. Today is the 22nd. So today, you could be reading Proverbs 22. You know, when you get to the end of the month, you can start over. Proverbs 1 on February 1st, Proverbs 2 on, you know, read through the Proverbs. I've made a practice of doing that for years. Now, I'm not saying I do it every month anymore, but I do it a lot. I read what it says. It talks a lot about the fool. Don't be foolish. Don't just live your life without reflection, without thinking about where the time is going, without strategy or some kind of a plan, you know, of what you want to get accomplished. You know, the great tragedy, and it really is sad that 343 days of this year, this present year, are still out before us, and most people have no plan or give no thought to how we're going to use up this year, what we want to get accomplished, what we want to get done, all sorts of things like that. Don't even think about it. Most people today in our culture live one day at a time, and they live for the moment. They live for the weekend. They live for the party. Just go to work because that's what you got to do to have fun on the weekend, you know. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have fun on the weekend, but you ought to be in church Sunday morning. Have fun the rest of the time. Reserve this for the Lord. But we shouldn't just be living for the moment. We need to look at our life in the totality. We start here, we end here. What am I getting accomplished in the middle of all of this? He goes on to say, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what His will is. Listen, God loves you. God loves you. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. Life is not just a planet rolling along, rotating, circling the sun, where you somehow you end up, you're born, and you don't really know why you're here, or what we're doing, where we're going, what's the purpose of all of this, where you just sort of live in a dark world with all sorts of evil things going on around. Some people live in fear. Some people live in euphoria because they're smoking weed or drinking all the time because that's the only way they figure they can get through life. No, God loves us. God has us here. He created man for a purpose. And we're to find out what that purpose is. What is God's will for your life? Now, it's the same in some ways for everybody. There are certain basic things that He would say to us. And one is that we should have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who died on the cross as our substitute and paid for our sins so that we could be forgiven and totally cleansed and our background all cleaned up. And then daily we should be living for Him. Now, we get to do all sorts of stuff in that, but that's the main purpose. That's the same for everybody. But He has specific things for you. He's gifted you from birth with certain talents. You have developed certain things in your life. As you live life, you gain experience. We call that life experience. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, He gifts you spiritually with one of many different spiritual gifts. You know, when I became a Christian, for example, He gifted me with the spiritual gift of being a pastor teacher. Let me tell you, on December 31st, 1965, at 11:30 p.m. in an apartment above the bar, I did not know when I sat on my bed that night and asked Christ into my life to forgive me that I was going to be a pastor. If you'd have told me that, I was still new enough Christian that I didn't know not to pop anybody, I'd have probably smacked you for being stupid. You know, what are you talking about? Me being a pastor? What are you, nuts? I don't talk in front of people, you know. And even when I found out that he was calling me, I still didn't want to do it. Now, I didn't know that he gifted me with that. You have to find out, how did he gift you? It's in his word. So to find out what his will is, I would suggest that you learn the book, you listen to people teaching the book correctly, so that you can learn, what is God's will for me? How does he want to use me in life? What does he want to do through me? Who does he want to help through me? What can I do? Everybody says that. What can I do? Remember what he asked Moses? What's in your hand? Moses said, he was a shepherd, a staff. And God used it for his honor and for his glory. What's in your hand? How has he gifted you? What's your background? What have you developed? What have you learned? How has he gifted you? How should you put that to work for him? You know, and so these verses are asking us, learn what his will is. Now, you know, the Westminster Confession, which is an old thing that came out of centuries ago, nailed it just in a concise little sentence of what God's will is. You know what it says? The chief purpose of man is to enjoy God forever, to know him and to enjoy him forever. Some of you that went to catechism in the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, different church, you learned it. What's the chief purpose of man? To know God and to enjoy him forever. That's time and eternity. That's the number one thing. Now, let's just take a little, second part, a little personal inventory. So put on your helmets and your steel-tip shoes. Put on your seat belt, because this could get a little rough, all right? Not accusing, just thinking about this stuff. It can be a bumpy ride. All right, so I'm just going to give you quickly 10 questions, very important questions, the things you ought to think about as you're coming in to still in January, the beginning month of this year. Question number one, what are my top three priorities in my life? What are my top three priorities? Don't list three people in your family. Well, my wife and my son or my daughter. Not talking about that. What are the top three priorities in your life? Now, it could be God, my family, my job. That's what many Christians would say. And that would be fair to say that. You know, what I generally say to people in giving them a hint about answering that particular question is you may want to go home, and many people are now getting their taxes ready to pay by April 15th, so filling out tax forms. Just get your checkbook stubs from 2015 and peruse them. Look through them. Where did you spend your money? Not talking about the basic things like paying the rent or the house payment or the car payment and buying groceries, but where did you invest money? Because that can show you what your priorities are when it comes to those things. Number two, in what or in whom, a person or persons, am I investing my life in? In what or in whom am I investing my life in? How am I spending my time? Think about things you do that you really like to do. How much time are you investing in that? What person or persons are you investing your time in? Number three, apart from your work or your career, or your business or school, apart from your work or school, how do I invest my time? See, this is taking an inventory so that we can look at the past and where we are today to see how we want to maybe change a few things for this coming year so that we do this accurately, correctly, with some thought, with some strategy. So apart from my work or my school, how do I invest my time? And you can put a sub-question under that. Am I building my kingdom on earth, or am I building God's kingdom? Is it all about me and mine and possessions and just my life, and I'm king of my life, and this is how I'm investing my time? Or am I building God's kingdom on earth for heaven, for eternity? Just a thought. Number four, apart from real needs, things like food, clothing, shelter, transportation, how do I spend my money? Again, look back through the checkbook. Where did it all go? You know, what do you earn? $30,000, $50,000, $75,000 or more or less? You know, where did it go? Don't you often wonder that sometimes when you're paying bills and there are more bills than money? Where did it go? You'd be surprised where it went. But the question is, overall, apart from just day-by-day needs, how do I spend my money? And how much of my income in 2016, the past year, have I invested in the kingdom of God, in His work? How much did I really give? And looking at that, am I investing in the kingdom of God, or am I robbing God? You don't want to rob God. You know, just the thought. That's not a good idea. You know, you don't really want to rob anybody because that makes you a criminal. But you don't really want to rob God, because Malachi is pretty clear in chapter 3. If we do not give to God what is His, which basically just as a general thing overall from Scripture is 10% of whatever I earn, that's what I'm to give to God, because that's His. It's not that I'm giving it and He doesn't want it or need it. It's God says, that's what you give to me. You get to keep 90%, you give me 10%. That's a pretty good business deal. But He says, if you rob me and do not give me that, then I will not bless you. In fact, there will be a curse on everything that you have. And so we wonder sometimes why so many things go wrong and why we never quite have enough money, because God will get it from us one way or the other. And He can either bless us or He can put a curse on all the rest so that we're not going to get it either. Somebody else is going to end up with it. So think about that. Number five, how much time do I really give to my family? That would be my spouse, my children, my grandchildren, or even great-grandchildren, my mom and dad if they're alive, parents, brothers and sisters, people in my inner circle of family. How much time do I really give to those people? And how much do I really care for them? Number six, how much time do I really spend, literally waste, how much time do I waste each day and each week watching television, entertaining myself, surfing the internet, entertaining myself, or just curious and looking things up? How much time do I burn up on my cell phone, texting my friends, getting texts from them, all the other social media stuff that we do? Do you ever watch people? I watch people all the time. I love to watch people. I am like a huge people watcher. It's sort of like going to the zoo, but they're not really animals, you know? I mean, because you go to the zoo and they got all these different species. Well, humans are one species, but they come in many different types. And it's just interesting to be somewhere and watch people. And you know what I watch right now? If I go to a restaurant and I sort of look around to see how many people are burning up their cell phones when they're together, couples and families, while they're supposed to be having a meal together and communicating with each other. And, you know, sometimes it's like six people at a table. You know how many cell phones are out and active? Six. You know, the only people I see some of them talk to is the waitress or waiter when they take their order or come back to ask how everything is. You know, it's like, you know, the kids especially, not just blaming them because I see adults, but just you know, they're on there with every, there's a time to turn it off. You don't have to answer every call or every text. It'll wait. It's on the phone. Get back to them later. So how much time do we waste entertaining ourselves every day and every week, which is water under the bridge? It's gone. And a lot of it, quite frankly, is unnecessary. We don't really need to do it. We just enjoy doing it, all right? And beyond any doubt, those gadgets and TV, computers, phones, all the biggest waster of time that we have. And you know what I think is going to happen? When we get older and when we get towards the end, because a lot of times when people get to the end and they're dying, people say to them, do you have any regrets? I ask people that when I'm visiting people that are dying. You know, do you have any regrets? You know what I think this whole generation is going to say? Yeah, man, I wasted a lot of time looking at gadgets. A lot of time I wasted. You know, so we need to think about that today. That's what he's telling us to do. Be careful about our time. Number 7, how much time do I really invest in my relationship with the Lord daily or weekly? How much time? Now, we spend all that time on the phones and all that, but how much time do I really invest with God? How much time do I invest with my family? See, the time robbers of all the gadgets keep us from the real things that are really important. Because you know what I've discovered in life, especially when I've been around with people that are dying? You know what's really important in those last weeks, months, and days, and hours? People, family, friends, that's what's important. I've never been by bedside with a person that's dying, even if they're going to live for another couple months or weeks. Never been with people like that that have ever worried about their money, their car, their truck. You know what people think about? Their family, their friends. Hate to leave them. People hang on incredibly long times because they simply don't want to hurt their family and their friends by dying and causing them pain. And so we have to consider, how much time do I really spend in my relationship with the Lord? Because that's so incredibly important. Do I ever pick this up between Sundays? Or do I take it home and lay it on the table or someplace in the dry sink or whatever, wherever you keep it, and I never open it up and look at it all week long? I never read it. I never spend any real time praying and talking to the Lord about life and about people, praying for my family and friends who don't know Jesus. So we really need to think about that. And we need to compare, how much time do I spend with the Lord with number 6? How much time do I spend with the TV, computer, cell phone, and all the other gadgets? That'll tell you a lot, all right? That'll tell you a lot. Number 8, how many people have I told about Jesus since I've become a follower of Jesus? Or how many people have I actually invited to come with me to church? Because you know, if you like something, you want other people to enjoy it too. You know, when a new restaurant opens up in town and people go to it, you know what the first thing they do is? Well, they used to tell their friends about it. Now they just text them about it. You know, hey, this place is really good. You ought to try this out sometime. This food is outstanding, man. You're really going to like this. So, you know, if we really like Jesus, if we really like our church, well, we ought to tell people about him. And we ought to tell them about, hey, you ought to come with me sometime. I think you would like it. Bring people with you to something that you enjoy and something that will be beneficial to them because they could hear truth and they could even come to know Jesus. Number 9, we're almost done. If you knew that you had just 6 months to live, for sure. The doctor just told you, look, you've got maybe 5 months, maybe 6. That's about it, give or take a week or two, either way. If you knew that you had 6 months to live, how would it change the way you have been spending and investing your time? Do you think it would make a difference? Because you see, at that point, when we would know for sure, pretty much for sure, the end, we would value whatever we have between now and them more than gold, more than silver, more than anything. I know because in my line of work as a pastor, I deal with that all the time. And I'm just telling you, that's when people really get serious about their relationship with God, making peace with God, making sure they know Christ as their Savior, because they know for sure death is coming, eternity is right on the other side of death, heaven or hell, where do I want to be? And so that's a game changer. We don't know how much time we have left unless you've had a diagnosis and they've told you that. We don't know, but we do know an end is coming. So we ought to live accordingly. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man or woman, unto a human being, once to die, and after that to face judgment." We have to give an account of ourselves. I love Psalm 139 and verse 16. It says, "Your eyes," speaking of God, "your eyes, God, saw my unformed body." When does life begin? I just had a conversation with a lady and her mother just the other day who was talking to me about a miscarriage she had and lost the baby. And I said, life begins at conception. That's when it starts. And it goes from two cells into probably over 100 trillion cells that you are now that are replaceable. But it begins. God, you saw my body when I was born? No, you saw my unformed body when it was just two cells. When the sperm and the egg united and you became a two-celler, all right? And then it began to divide and multiply. You saw my unformed body all, now listen to this, all the days of my life, all the days of my life, every day of my life that was ordained for me by God were written in your book, God. You know my death date, even if I'm healthy. Maybe I get hit by a truck or run over, I don't know, you know, struck by lightning, you know. But you know the length of my days. They were all ordained. They were written in your book, God, before any one of them came into existence. God knew you before you existed. He knew you were coming. Some of you heard me say this before. You may have been a surprise to your parents when they found out they were pregnant with you. You were not a surprise to God. He knew you were coming. He already mapped out how many days you're going to be on this earth. You know your birthday. He knows your death day. You don't. So be aware. Number 10 and last. 5 minutes after I die, what will really count that I did in my time? How I invested it or how I wasted it. 5 minutes after I'm gone. Wow. Wow. Will my money in the bank count? Will my house count? Will my car count? My truck, my truck. I got a vintage truck. The red, white, and blue, the red and white meat wagon, as the grandchildren refer to it. The Longhorn truck. Will that matter to me? Absolutely not. It won't matter to me. It won't amount to a hill of beans. None of that stuff. But trust me. Trust me. What you did in life to obey and honor and serve God will matter. It won't matter how you invested the income that God blessed you with in your life, CDs, stocks, whatever, real estate, gold, so that won't matter. But what you invested financially in the kingdom of God will matter, because the Bible says it will pay 1,000% interest in eternity forever. That's the best investment out there. So invest heavily in the kingdom of God is what I would say. End with this, 1 Corinthians 10:31. This is just this good, like, general verse. So, he says, whether you eat, which we'll do shortly, lunch, or drink, which we'll also do shortly, or whatever you do, doesn't matter. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, not for the glory of self, not to build our own kingdom, but to invest and build in the kingdom of God. So I would just say to you as we close, live every day, every month, all this year, live it in light of eternity. Not that eternity should be this elephant right behind us that's scaring the heck out of us, but we should live knowing that death and eternity are at any moment, not afraid of that when you know Jesus as your Savior, but live in light of that. It's coming, and I want to be ready, and I want to live a life well lived that honors and pleases God and that serves Him and His purposes. He'll let you enjoy all sorts of stuff. You can have a house, you can have property, you can have a car, truck, a motorcycle, boat, you can go fishing, all of that stuff, but live to honor Him with all of that stuff, because in the end, He's what counts. He is what counts. And what I've done for Him and what I've invested for Him. I hate paying bills. They're necessary, but I just hate it. You know, it's like, wow, you know, could use that money somewhere else better. But we all have bills, right? We all have financial responsibility. But you know what I like to do the best? When I get paid every 2 weeks, that money's put in my account from my salary. The first bill, and it's not really a bill. The first thing I do, the first check I write is a check to GBC and some other things that I support, orphans and so forth. But I write that out because to me that's the most important. That's my investment in the kingdom of God. All this other stuff will pay for a house that'll fall apart, a car that won't be worth anything in a few years. You know, all that kind of food to eat, which is, you know, it's gone after a little while. Doesn't matter. That first check, the first part of my income that belongs to God. When you give that, there is a peace of knowing that God is able to bless you. Not necessarily with more money, but with good health, with a family that loves you, many friends, all they're all blessings. Allow Him to bless your life. So think carefully about these things and act accordingly. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You and Jesus' name. Thank You that You give us time on this earth. No two of us are alike. We don't look alike. We don't have the same personalities. We have similarities, but we're all unique. And none of our time is the same. Some of us are going to die, and some already have, very young. Some are going to die in middle age. Some are going to die elderly. Some are going to die really a long time from now. We don't know that. But Lord, would You help us here in this first month of this year, considering the time, the valuable time, the treasure of time that is spread out before us. Lord, would You help us to plan that carefully and invest it even more carefully. In Jesus' name, amen.